I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends his Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, welcome once again. As always, it's a blessing and an honor to be with each and every one of you. My sidekick is not able to be here today. He had something he had to do with his family, and it's a blessing at any rate always to be with each and every one of you. I just praise and thank God. You know, I can only tell you, you really and truly are my team of evangelists. The Lord himself has called you by name. The Lord himself has chosen you to be my beautiful gift of prayer warriors, to be my evangelist, and I'm so grateful. I praise and thank God. Your messages on my chat after Tuesday's program really, really bless my heart and move me deeply. You know, even when I come in today, because it's Thursday, I know we always read the gospel and then we open it and expound on it, Father and I, which I'll do today. But on Tuesday, I just speak for 2 hours and I don't come in with any thought on my mind about what to speak. Truly, absolutely truly. And I go with as I feel the Spirit leading me always. And that's Tuesday's program. And apparently impacted and moved so many people. Over 1,000 people were online. And their comments... now you can't see but I can see all the data and through my ministry because being a president I can get to see how many people are on, how long they are, how long they stay on, and of course on the live chat you're on and you can see and write your comments. But I can tell you, I was really taken back by your awesome comments. These are difficult times we're living in, and as a Catholic radio broadcaster, you know, everybody has their own, whatever they're called to, what kind of broadcasters they're called to be. Some are different kinds of commentators. I'm just me, and I speak what the Lord lays on my heart when I start to open my mouth. I'm ever grateful. I have the best, faithful, loyal listeners any broadcaster could ever hope to have. So I personally wanted to thank you for that. I'm always overwhelmed, you know, as the Lord told me, which I'd share with you from the beginning, when I took over this Catholic radio apostolate. It's funny, you know, I didn't want to do it. But when I knew it was the Lord, of course, I gave him a resounding yes, here I am, Lord. Send me. And I remember kneeling in church very, very late at night, or early in the morning, I should say, in adoration the night that I said yes. And St. Catherine of Siena in Horsham. And when I realized it was the Lord calling me, I I just wept for being my absolutely not. And so when I realized truly God enlightened my mind and heart and understanding to realize it was Him and it was He who was calling me. And I remember laying down in the aisle, prostrate. And as I prostrated myself there, I heard so clearly in the most beautiful voice in the silence of my heart, Kathleen, I will send angels to help you. And I will bless those who bless you. And if anything was ever fulfilled in my life, it is that. It is that He has sent me angels, all of you. And I praise and thank you for your loyalty and your faithfulness, your generosity, your prayers. I am always overwhelmed by the love that comes across to me from you. So again, I am most grateful. You are my really team of evangelists. The Lord has called each one of you by name. And you can do more than I can do. You just continue to send, hit your share buttons and send it out. And I can't tell you how many people that I have heard from that would never have heard if it wasn't for you sharing, people on your prayer list, your email list, people that are close to you, friends, families, and those that you work with. It's really amazing when they call back and they say, I would have never, ever expected what I got in my email, and I am so grateful that I did. So I just want to thank you. Thank you for yielding to the grace and power at work in you and the Spirit, and together as being my team of Catholic lay evangelists and myself, we will continue to be the fire of God's love in the world. That is the first thing He gave me when I went to set up my website. He said, Kathleen, I want you to bring the fire of my love to the world. And so that's what I put on my website, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. And that fire, I hope, burns everything out of us that is not of Him. And just wells up with the breath of the Holy Spirit, and the fire fills us with everything that those who see us see the fire of Christ within us, and that by our coming into community with them or fellowship with them, that starts a spark in their heart. And that's what we're all called to do. You know, we just set a spark in the heart of others. And And I wrote that in one of my books. We're all called to set a spark in the heart of those we come in contact with. So I just want to bring up the gospel and always, and I'm always sort of, let me read it off of this. Trying to get again. Okay, here's the gospel. And then I'll just try to open it up a little and speak to you. And today is only an hour. And I'm used to my 2 hours. But here we go. I gave up my second hour for another broadcaster because, as you know, I am trying to, when I recognize gifts in others and feel they have a beautiful gift, then I ask them, and everybody I asked has said yes. So I'm giving them their radio, my radio time to them. And although I've been trying to step back for the past 15, 20 years, now these last 10 years, I've been able to give my other days to those who are gifted and are beautiful broadcasters, and I am free to do running of the ministry, which is a big ministry to run. And we get no support from any, not from the church, not from our diocese, no corporate sponsorship. I do have one business that does, praise be to God, from the day I took that extra hour, where I would do 2 hours, Visiting Angels has blessed our ministry by blessing that one of those hours. So I am praising and thanking God for all of you who enable us to stay on the air. I always say, bills get paid, the electricity, the phones, the rent here, the radio time. And it's all through your generosity and the Lord God moving in the hearts of those that he prompts in the Holy Spirit to support in his sign Catholic Radio. And I am eternally grateful. This scripture is from Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a marriage feast for his son. And he sent his servants to call those who were invited to the marriage feast, but they wouldn't come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, behold, I have made ready my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the marriage feast.' But they made light of it and went off, one to his farm, another to his business. While the rest seized his servants, treating them shamefully, and killed them. The king was so angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited, they were not worthy. Go therefore to the thoroughfares, to the highways and to the byways, and invite to the marriage feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the streets, into the highways, they gathered all whom they found, both the bad and the good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. He saw there was a man who had no wedding garments on. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And the man was speechless. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind him, hand and foot, and cast them into the outer darkness. There men will weep and gnash their teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. You and I are invited to the wedding feast of the King's Son. You and I, we're all invited to that feast. Contrary to the gospel story today, we were not those that paid no mind to it and went on our way. Just totally abandoned the Son on his wedding day. Totally betrayed the King's love and generosity. But now, all of us, we have been invited to the feast, the wedding feast. And it is prepared, and it is ready. And Jesus says, come. And for us, he feeds us this amazing feast, his own body and his own blood, preparing us and keeping us on the right track so that we will enter the eternal wedding feast, the feast of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the wedding feast of the Son, and the church is his bridegroom. That's us. That's each and every one of us. It's amazing, isn't it? That we who are so weak, we who are sinful, love the Lord, and because of his love for us, he sent his only Son so that he would die, that we might live forever in paradise at the wedding feast. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Holy Spirit speaks to the hearts of every baptized person, says, come. Come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Bride is the church, and we're called to every day of our lives be prepared to come and to receive Jesus' life within us, his precious body and his blood that strengthens us till the end. You know, we often think, or maybe you don't, but I've often think, I think about it a lot, and I can't even say it since I got older, but I always thought about it. You know, it's not if we die, it's when we die. When we die, those who remain faithful to Jesus, those who have loved him and believed in the gospel, those who have repented from all those things in the past when we did not know him and did not love him, did not hope in him, did not believe in him, all forgiven because we have repentant hearts. And so we should pray for all of our brothers and sisters from all over the world that they too will have their hearts and minds enlightened to the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that as we receive his body and blood, we get his strength to go on until we are called to the wedding feast, the eternal wedding feast. Indeed, the bride and the spirit say come. So for all of us, we have to remember this is who we are. He doesn't come and tell us, Wednesday, I will call you home. Or 5 years from now, you're going to go home. He calls us to treat each day as if it was our last day. And when we do that, we live today better than we would had we not believed it could be our last day. One of the great saints, and I forget who it was now, might have been Thomas Merton, but whoever it was, said one time, and I never forgot it, he said for, and I might be quoting the wrong person, but he said, every child, when they're born, should be told that they are going to die. We just don't know the hour or the day. And from the day we're born, we're all dying. And the Lord wants us to be ever, ever much aware that today is a gift. So we do what we can today, while we can. We love with all our heart and all our soul today. We turn away from the things that we know would stifle the power of God within us, the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we fall and when we fail, as we most certainly will do, Jesus has left us a sacramental church to be able every single day eat his body and drink his blood. And he is strengthening us and he's preparing us for that final homecoming to enter into the king's wedding feast for his son. And so for you and I, we await that wedding feast. You and I, so many faiths don't believe this, but you and I, we're built to last forever. You and I were built to last forever, to eternity. And God, in all his love and mercy and grace, doesn't demand us to respond. He proposes his will to us, but he does let us know that each one of us are called to eternity. We'll never die. We'll fall asleep. And God will call us up. Been away too long. I want you home. And he'll do that for each of us. And we'll have to give an accounting for how we lived while we were still here on earth. But each one of us will live forever. Each one of us were created for eternity. And where we spend it will be truly up to us. The Lord never puts anybody in hell. He never rejects a soul to hell. We reject him if that happens. And without him, there is only hell. He has prepared a place for us so that where he is, we can go. And he will come back for us. He is coming back for us. And so I think this gospel message, in a very special way, really needs to speak to our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. We can't sneak in, you know. Think what the king said to the attendant, to the person when he seen him without a wedding gown on. He knew he was in part of the people that were invited after others turned away. He tried to sneak in, tried to get in under the radar that the Lord God wouldn't know and that the king wouldn't know. When he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" The man remained speechless because what could he say? "I snuck in. I didn't think you noticed." Bind him, hand and foot, cast him into the outer darkness where they will weep and gnash their teeth. Many are called, but few are chosen. You're chosen. You are chosen. You know why? If you don't show up, you can't be chosen. All those that didn't show up, they weren't chosen. And those, the one that tried to sneak in and thought God wouldn't know, the king wouldn't know who they really were, how they didn't love him, how they never served him. They just were gluttons. They wanted the feast. They wanted something for nothing. They wanted to eat for nothing of the great feast. No allegiance to the Lord, to their king. No love in their heart for the king, just what that king could give them. And so we need to remember who we are. We are his sons and daughters. And he has invited us, the King of Kings, has invited us to the feast. Many are called, but few are chosen. Indeed, many are called. People say, "Well, why does he not choose them all?" Remember, he did choose. He invited everybody, and they refused his gifts. Refused the meal, refused to believe that it was a serious thing that they should take seriously, didn't believe that there'd be any punishment due, and they went their way. But then the attendants went out, and God's, in the king's graciousness, he was going to have people filled for the wedding feast of his son, and so he sent them all out to the highways and the byways, all the attendants, to bring home, to bring back those who wanted to come. And they were chosen. They didn't sneak in. God saw their hearts. They were there because they wanted to be with the Son and the Father. They wanted to share in the beauty and gift of the marriage feast. Except one who tried to sneak in, thinking God or the king wouldn't notice. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, praise God. I just want to give a little shout out for you. I just brought this up. Let's see. This is from Harriet. Good afternoon, Kathleen. I'm listening and need to ask prayer warriors to pray for my new great-granddaughter born this morning. She was rushed to Children's Hospital for breathing difficulties. So my brothers and sisters, I always say I got the best prayer warriors there are. So please, please lift her little granddaughter up. Also, Joan Davenport. Hi, Kathleen. Tuning in. Good to have you. Anthony, good to have you on. I just want to, once again, I just want to share with all of you the beauty of what God is doing in these days and in these times. We, first off, I find it atrocious. Let me just say this. Atrocious. And I feel it's a sacrilege. Bishop Kubik went to that convention center while they sanctioned and advertised that there would be free abortions out front of the Democratic Convention Center. The very first day, there was 25 lives, babies torn limb from their mother's womb. Right around the corner, there was vasectomies that were being performed freely. I can't wrap my mind around it. I can't, that his presence there to accept the invitation to do a blessing there. It wounded my heart. I didn't even see it. I heard of it. It wounded my heart. And it should wound all of our hearts and our consciences. The scriptures are written from God's heart to our heart. It's his love. It's his love letters to us. And the teaching magisterium of the church stands lockstep with all the teachings, all the scriptures. Even before the scriptures were written, Mother Church in all her wisdom taught the truth that was handing down from generation to generation till the printing presses and that, you know, Bible was made up, you know, made. But it was the monks forever that were writing down all the scriptures to keep those teachings. It was from the very first Holy Father, the first Pope, Peter. The messages that were handed down from him all the way down to this very day in succession. And succession has not been broken from Peter. And so right now, and I do believe me, I do believe where the Pope is, that's where the church is. And I know Mother Mary, Mother of the Church. Teaches us as a mother. And all that we have learned, all that we've been taught, all the amazing, awesome priests, nuns, religious, I cannot wrap my mind around how they, their whole convention is all about, number one, abortion. When they call women's health care, women, they're not against women's health care. You can have health care anywhere, anytime, any place, any day. And you have all kinds of help and resources to get it to you if you can't afford it. That's a lie from hell. What is the truth? The truth is health care is not abortion. Healthcare is to save lives. Healthcare is to make the person physically or healed or whatever. That's, abortion isn't healthcare. Abortion, you can call up any niceties that you want. Abortion is not healthcare, it's murder. It's taking the life of another human being. When people say, this is my body, isn't it ironic? That was what Jesus says when he offers us our body and blood, that such evilness copies that. You know what copycats are? They don't know truth, so they copy whatever they want. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and his truth alone will set people free. We cannot look at these statements of a woman's right to kill her child. They have adoptions. People are longing and aching to hold a child in their arms for some reason or another, that they can have children. And even those that can always want to adopt, you know, many families adopt more children. Adoption is a beautiful option. And the courageous woman that would give up her child to someone who could love this child and take care of it if they feel they can't. But my brothers and sisters, do not believe the lie that the church is against women's health care. That's a diabolical lie from hell. The church is against taking innocent life in any form. The church is against abortion. And now that the, you know, Roe v. Wade is back in the states, every state can make those rules. And there are provisions. If that's really what somebody's caring about, there is provisions where, and I don't agree with any provisions, I'll be honest with you. I think to take a life of a child in the womb is diabolically wrong. It's evil. You can't say, well, we'll take the life of this one over that one. The bottom line is, I'm not here to debate the issue. I'm here to tell you I was appalled to hear that Bishop Kubik went up there and gave a blessing to the people that were gathered there that were all about. They don't have any issues. They don't have any real platform. They say they're going to do certain things, but again, they haven't. 3.5 years, they haven't. Even now, they could still do it while they're in office, but they haven't. We need to recognize this truth. If people recognize the truth, like, yes, there are provisions for the life of the mother, or against, you know, rape. Some states have that. Whatever they are, there's no need. It's not health care. It is not health care to kill a baby in the womb any more than it is to kill a baby in a coach. To build, to go up and kill a child in a baby in a coach or a stroller or a car seat. They would be charged with murder out and out. That baby's heart is beating. Scientifically, it's been proven that heart is beating. And from the moment of conception, that's a vile, living baby. And for a woman to say, this is my body. Well, what if it's a baby boy? Do you have a penis? No. You're taking the life of that baby boy. And where are all these wonderful women that stand for women's rights? How about all the babies? All the little, beautiful little baby girls that are in the womb being slaughtered. It's nauseating to me to hear that convention. Protect our democracy, not for us, but for our children and our grandchildren. Well, guess what? You saw what's happening. They want to kill these babies in the womb. They're out there performing free vasectomies so the man cannot produce a child. You know where else that happened? It happened in Germany. We better wake up. Things are going to happen very quickly, and we better be standing on the side of righteousness. And it doesn't mean that, you know, we'll be on the side of, you know, the best looking, best personality. No. No. It means to stand on the side of righteousness. And we should have righteous anger when anybody can call an abortion health care. It's an abortuary. It's not health care. It destroys life. It does not help life. And there's all kinds of resources for women, my brothers and sisters. You have no idea. All kinds of resources for women that are pregnant in the worst set of circumstances. And even if they're married, just don't want another child. There are plenty of different resources to help them through or to encourage them to give their child a chance at life like their mother gave them. Their mother gave them a chance at life to make these choices. And we have to really believe and understand what's really taking place here. Do not buy the lie. Do not look at the copycat, the enemy, who tries to copy everything that he thinks will fall for. Be true to who you are. Be true to your principles. I'm not talking your democratic principles or your republican principles, your libertarian principles. I'm telling you to be true to your Catholic faith, to your Christian faith, to your Jewish faith who cherishes life, to all life who respects life. Pray and love those who do not believe. But for the love of God, do not for 1 minute buy the lie that health care is somehow included in abortion or abortion is part of health care. We will pay a great price, I guarantee you, when we go home to the Lord. For just like the ones that left the wedding feast, they didn't think it was important. They didn't want to honor their king. They wanted to go their way. They had things to do and better ways to spend their time than sitting at a wedding. And so they left. But you and I have to be open to the truth that will set all mankind free. And we have to pray for those who are not believing those truths, that they don't get swept away, that they don't in any way, shape, or form miss the opportunity of the greatest wedding feast we're all invited to. I don't know how I got to go into this, but the bottom line is I came in and somebody asked me if I saw this. I said no. And I do watch the conventions, both of them. And I said it on my Tuesday show, I'll say it again now. And I mean it sincerely. Everybody hates how President Trump, not everybody, a lot of people hate how he says demeaning things and, you know, says things that are hurtful and so forth against their opponents. But my goodness, for crying out loud, let us be truly understanding to know what they have done from Trump is lied and lied and lied. Everything they said at the convention, and I've watched it every night until late last night. They're all lies. They're lies. Listen to what they're saying. They're saying what they hope would be the case, but they've been in bed with the enemy. They've been in office for 3.5 years and have done nothing of the things they say they want to do. My brothers and sisters, we only have a couple months left. Look at who and share with others. Please tell them the truth. Go out to the highways and the byways. Go out into the families, and not to teach them and say, you're so wrong, you idiots, don't you know what you're doing? No, we're all idiots when it's the mind of God that we honor. It's His will, His holy will. And so we have to be able to share in love the truth that will set people free. God's word is truth. We have to share what we know to be true and not be afraid to share it. Abortion is not health care. One takes life. One destroys life. One kills the innocent for the convenience of the other. Convenience. My brothers and sisters, I praise and thank God with all my heart and soul. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, and I pray that all of us truly will come. Not only come, but to really be ready for this amazing feast that we're all invited to. I'm going to try to see here. I wrote this... I hope I can see it. I wrote it on a Facebook response. Here you go. This is what I wrote to this person on Facebook. What happened in Germany? Everyone was excited, full of joy, and what Hitler was speaking about. They cheered him. They sang his praises. They were so happy with his new agenda. And we know what happened there. They stole all the wealth and property of those who they didn't feel had a reason to live, the Jews. They killed innocent people in gas chambers and burned them alive. My brothers and sisters, look what's happening now. It's been announced that people could get a free abortion right in front of the convention center. And right around the corner it was announced, and it had been announced, that the men could have vasectomies. Okay, so abortion chambers giving free and announced abortions right out front of the convention, Democratic Convention Center building. And they're offering free vasectomies around the corner. All propaganda. That's what it was in Germany. That's what it is now. They speak about white supremacists. They're doing the same thing, only they're not calling it white. They speak of saving our democracy for our children and our grandchildren, while right outside they are killing the holy innocents. And they are sterilizing our men. Where do you see health care happening? The holy innocents are sterilizing the men. I pray America will wake up. May we help in any way we can, in love and in mercy, for all those who don't grasp what's taking place right in our own time. If the enemy comes, he's not going to tell you something ugly and black and dark. He's going to make it sound good. He'll use all kinds of semantics to make it sound good. But the truth is, it's a lie. Even if everybody believes it, it's still a lie. And if nobody believes the truth, it's still the truth. Abortion is not health care. And I just pray, God, hear our prayer. Again, I pray with all my heart and soul. Believe me, I'm voting for life. I'm voting for those that can protect our borders. We're going to have a horrific uprising right here. The word is, they're just waiting on the word. From all those that have come across, millions of people that our government doesn't even know where these people are. They haven't been vetted. Some of them can be fine, but there are those who hate America. And they're coming in and they're getting through. We see people burning our flags, spitting on them, dragging them all over the place, fighting against the police who are trying to bring order right there at the convention again. We saw it before in the colleges. This is anarchy. This is taking place in the United States of America. It's going to get worse. There's the old adage, they came for the Jews, we did nothing, we remained silent. They came for this and they came for that. And finally, they're coming for us and there won't be anybody there. Think about it. This is our country and we have ceded it to the enemy by allowing these things to take place in the United States of America. What would you rather have? A ha ha ha, joy, cheers, yaha, all excited? Or would you rather put somebody in office that's going to protect life? It's going to protect our borders? It's going to protect our families from the horrific crime that is going throughout all the cities? Every state, all these cities ransacked. Go in and take whatever you want. That's all right. Nobody will arrest you as long as you stay under $1,000. It's, I can't believe. And the only thing that comes to me is they have eyes and do not see. They have ears and do not hear. They have closed their eyes and turned away from the truth. My brothers and sisters, one thing we could do is love our brothers and sisters enough to tell them how much God loves them, that he laid down his life. Nobody took it from him. Nobody took him from the womb of our Blessed Mother and, you know, tore him apart. He was given the greatest, most magnificent gift in the history of mankind was given, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. For the Jews, the Messiah, and they don't know him yet as the Messiah. Some do, but some don't. But they love God. They know who their Creator is. There's many, many Muslims, many Jews, many all kinds of people. They believe in a God. They believe that there's a God who loves them. Our role is to be able to share with others, not tell them, but to share with others the beautiful gift of salvation, the beautiful gift of the scriptures, the beautiful gift of telling the truth that we will all be held accountable. And yes, we will all die. It's not if we die. We are dying from the day we've been born. We're dying. And when we come before the Lord, what will we say? Will we be like the man that snuck in and thought he wouldn't be noticed? Will we be speechless because we couldn't deny the truth of our accuser? And the accuser is the enemy. He will be there accusing us. Mother Mary will be pleading for us. And Jesus' merciful heart will be there. But he's mercy and he's also judge. Mercy and justice kiss. And that'll happen when we go before the Lord. We know not the hour of the day, but I tell you what, he is coming. And we better be prepared. We better be prepared. Our preparation should be for eternal life. That's the most important thing. And yes, we are concerned about everything that's going on in the world. But it's not about, well, Trump is mean. He says mean things. He says mean. He's mean. He cares about himself. Really? I heard people who are billionaires there have all kinds of houses all over the place loaded with money and said, oh, he only cares about himself. The rich. Well, they were the rich preaching it. All I have to say is be as sly as a fox. You have to be. Coy as a fox, sly as a fox, and gentle as a dove when you bring the truth to others. My brothers and sisters, I just can't believe this hour is gone. But I love you, and I mean it. And if you love, share the truth in love, not in accusation, not telling people they're stupid for thinking the way they think. Just tell the truth. Share what has happened. President Trump was the greatest president we've ever had that stood for life. It might be our lives in the end. Choose wisely. Don't root party, root your conscience. God bless you.